All right, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Ask the Pastor, where we seek to give biblical answers to life's questions. And I'm so thankful for all of the questions that people are submitting. Once again, you haven't let me down. You've given me some in-depth questions, and I've really had to think and pray and search God's Word for answers. And so let's go ahead and get started. Here's the question. Why did God create other planets if we're the only life form? I guess is the word. Okay, that's the question. Why did God create other planets if we are the only life form is the question. Well, first of all, I would say that we don't know for certain that we are the only life form. Okay, God created other planets specifically for his glory. He did not create other planets for life forms. He created other planets for his glory. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. So first and foremost, all planets are created for the glory of God. And the second thing is that we don't know that we are the only life form. I mean, the Bible seems to indicate that, all right, that we are the only life form. But let's just imagine for a moment that there is another planet out there that contains other life. Well, it does not negate the fact that God is their creator. And the only way for them to have a relationship with God is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So I want to answer that question twofold. God created other planets primarily for his glory. And he doesn't need for there to be life form on other planets, okay? Because planets without life declare the glory of God. But let's say perhaps there is other life form. Well, they still would have to come to God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. For all have sinned and come in short of the glory of God. This person also has another question and says, were Adam and Eve before the caveman, or is the caveman an idea that is false? Well, first of all, the idea of the Neanderthal or the caveman comes from the evolutionary theory. It does not come from biblical truth. And so I would say that the idea of the Neanderthal, the caveman, is an unbiblical idea. I mean, it really is. The Bible says that God created Adam and Eve. They were the first human beings created, and they were not Neanderthals. You know, they had cognitive abilities just like we do today. So the idea of the Neanderthal is an idea that is supported by the evolutionary theory, which is bad science, because the evolutionary theory is just that. It's a theory. It's never been proven, and it can't be proven. And so it's an unbiblical idea. God created Adam and Eve. There was never a caveman or a Neanderthal. And so thank you for your question. I believe that answers your question. And I really appreciate the heart of this question. The person says, how do I minister to members of the LGBTQ community who are proud of their identity without offending them or making them lose interest in the gospel? Well, first of all, let me just say how much I appreciate this question. I'm so thankful, and I'm going to pull up my computer for a moment. I'm so thankful that, and I know this young man, I'm so thankful that he cares enough about his lesbian and homosexual friends that he wants to see them come to faith in Christ. But there's a couple of things I need to address in this question. First of all, the gospel itself is offensive. You ask, how can you share the gospel with them without offending them? And I'm not sure that you can. Now, let me explain. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 through 8, this is what the scripture says. So honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Now the Bible says that, and that's referring to Jesus, it's referring to the gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection. And the Bible says that it is a rock of offense. And so the gospel is, by nature, offensive. You may ask, how so? Well, the gospel says that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. The gospel says that we are dead in our trespasses and sin, and because of our sin, we are totally depraved. And the only hope that we have is to trust in Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, that's offensive. Nobody wants to be told that they're a sinner. Nobody wants to be told that they've sinned against God. Nobody wants to be told that they're worthy of death. And that their only hope is to turn from themselves and to trust in Jesus. And so the gospel by nature is offensive because it calls for men and women to repent and believe. And so, however, that doesn't mean that we have to be offensive when we share it. I would encourage you to share the gospel with your homosexual and lesbian friends. Share the gospel. If you really love them, then you don't want to see them go to hell. And the only hope that they have is in the gospel. So you have a God-given responsibility to share the gospel. Don't sugarcoat the gospel. Don't water it down. You share the gospel with integrity, and then you trust God for the results. You pray before you go. And then you talk to your friends in a very loving way about the offense of the cross, how Jesus died upon the cross for the sins of the world. And in order for any person to be saved, they have to be willing that they've sinned against God. And homosexuality is a sin, as you've indicated in your question. It is a sin. Now, you didn't do it outright, but obviously you understand that it's a sin because you want to know how to share the gospel with them. And so, they're more than likely they're going to be offended because the gospel is offensive, but you don't have to be offensive when you share it. Share the gospel with them in love, share it with them truthfully, trust God for the results, and know that you've done your part. God bless you. I hope that answers your question. One last question. Hi, Pastor Blake. As I read John 8:31, the verse states, "So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed, 'If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and the truth will make you free.' But then later Jesus says to them, 'You are of your father, the devil.' So the person wants to know, why did Jesus change his tone towards them?" Well, when we look at it in context, the answer becomes clear. So let's get there. John 8:31. And again, the question is, why does the Bible say that they believed, but then Jesus said they were of their father, the devil? Well, the simple answer is because their belief was not genuine. It was false belief. And let me show you how the context of the verse tells us that. So here's what the verse says, John 8:31. "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him." Now, if we stop right there, it seems like they were saved, but we have to go on and read. "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, that offended the Jews because they didn't think they needed to be set free. So they answered. These are the same people where it says they believed. And they answered, "We are offspring of Abraham." Here's the tone. They're offended. "We are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say we will become free?" So they really weren't believers. They believed in Jesus intellectually, but they didn't trust in Jesus by faith because they didn't even believe they needed to be saved. That's why Jesus says in verse 44, "You're of your father, the devil." Because even though they said they believed, they didn't believe they needed to be saved. And Jesus says, "Yeah, you're really your father, the devil." And so, you know, Jesus didn't change his tone towards them. Jesus knew their heart. Even though they said they believed, Jesus knew they didn't. And he pointed that out by confronting them with their sin. And when he did, they got offended. And Jesus said, "Yep, by your offense, you're proving that your father is the devil." Folks, I can't tell you how much I'm blessed by your questions. Again, I hope God blows this thing up, not for our glory, but for his. Because I do believe that, you know what, we don't try to dance around and give fuzzy answers. We get straight to the point. We give you biblical answers. And so thank you. I pray that you'll encourage others to subscribe. Please share. Point others to our YouTube page. God bless you. Keep sending in your wonderful questions.